But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the results of the 2024 election. Move on to some much-needed after-the-fact education on what tariffs actually are, and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, Why 74 Million Americans Want the Rest of Us to Believe It's the Economy, Stupid. Let's begin, shall we? By now, you've probably heard.
Overnight, a stunning victory for Donald Trump.
He will be the first convicted felon to be president of the United States.
Blowing through the so-called blue wall of Midwest states.
In county after county across the country, improving on his margin of victory in past races.
Suburban areas, rural areas, even big cities and bluer parts of the map all tipped in his direction.
The former president winning with a coalition driven by white voters, men, and first-time voters.
Young men in union households.
Those older voters.
Voters age 45 to 64.
Those younger than the age of 30.
Black men. Latino men, suburban women, Arab Americans, and white men.
And just like that, 74.2 million Americans chose the 34 times convicted felon who has also been found liable for rape in a court of law to usher this country into fascism because choosing the black South Asian woman was a bridge too far. And yeah, I get what I said was offensive to some Americans who don't think of themselves as misogynistic, racist, but to everyone listening, let me explain. Immediately following the election, Democrats started to play the blame game, coming up with all sorts of reasons why America chose the felon over the prosecutor.
I'm blaming Joe Biden for not getting out of the race early.
Kamala Harris had this albatross around her neck, and it was Joe Biden. She couldn't distance herself from Biden and couldn't think of anything that she would have done differently.
I think Democrats went way too far to the left on a whole host of issues.
There is going to be some sort of reckoning here with the progressive left.
New York Congressman Richie Torres, a Democrat, saying Trump has no greater friend than the far left. Torres adding, the working class is not buying the ivory-towered nonsense that the far left is selling.
I do think the Democratic Party needs to really evaluate, like, how far left are we going to go? Are we going to stay in the center? Because the country is telling us they are in the center.
No, you're wrong. The election results have absolutely nothing to do with the center of anything. It's not like we can count how many licks it takes to get to the progressive center of the Democratic Party. And by the way, how is getting $25,000 for first-time homebuyers lowering the cost of prescription drugs for all Americans, going after corporations for price gouging, and everything else Kamala Harris planned for her first term in office, progressive? Oh, and just for shits and giggles, the majority of people who voted for the candy orange douchebag would have actually benefited from those progressive ideas the black woman had. And yet, white men and white women, black and Latino men, all go out there in public and say it was the economy that led them to vote for Genghis Khan, which I personally find insulting. Because if you are upset about the price of groceries or just about anything else, you don't lower the cost of anything by choosing Assolini, who's talking about imposing tariffs on imported goods. And for those of you in the back, here's why.
During his campaign, Trump vowing to set a 60% tariff on Chinese imports and a 10 to 20% tariff on imports from everywhere else. So what could this mean for your money?
Peterson Institute for International Economics estimates those tariffs alone would cost the typical American household over $2,600 a year. Another study by the Yale Budget Lab puts that estimate even higher, saying Trump's proposed tariffs would add anywhere from $1,900 to $7,600 per household.
But it's worth noting that when the CRS did analyze tariffs started under the Trump administration in 2018, they found, quote, research generally found that U.S. consumers and firms bore nearly the entire increased costs associated with tariffs.
Now, I don't know what's in your wallet, but according to the Federal Reserve, one out of four Americans couldn't afford a $400 emergency, let alone having to pay $1,900 and almost $7,600 more for shit that they already buy. Tariffs cost the customer more for the goods because corporations aren't going to let anything stop their profits from rising. That's why they've been raising prices on everything since COVID, an excuse that they're still using, like we're stupid. And apparently they're not wrong, because 74.2 million Dumases chose the overbronzed felon, whose economic fix would result in prices going up 10 to 20% every single fucking where you go, rather than electing a black woman who had a plan to go after those corporations for price gouging, which would result in nearly the cost of everything going down, perhaps to pre-pandemic levels. But please tell me again how 74.2 million Americans were so worried about the economy, they voted for Eric Staed. Oh, and while we're on the subject of the poorly educated, even if you did go to college, did you know that Karma, she's not only a hell of a girl, she's actually very, very quick. Here's MSNBC's Joy Reid to explain.
Today in Elections Have Consequences, check out this post. This is from an American woman today. My husband works for a small manufacturing company, and here in southwestern PA, that means most employees are Trump voters. When the president of the company sat them down today to tell them their annual Christmas bonus would not come this year because they now need to purchase at least a year's worth of products prior to January 21st due to the proposed tariffs, they did not understand. My husband said that their president had to explain what a tariff is and how it directly hurt their company. They all thought the foreign company paid the tariff.
Of course they did, those silly maggots. Listening to Fat Nixon talk about how China's gonna pay for those tariffs, just like how Mexico was gonna pay for the wall. And how did that work out? Well, American taxpayers footed more than $1 billion during the Fraud Fathers' first occupation of the White House, and Mexico paid nothing. So now we're just supposed to believe that China is going to pay the increased difference in everyday goods and materials, when that's not even at all how tariffs work.
Who collects tariffs? Well, it's actually done by Customs and Border Protection at ports of entry. Importers have to pay CBP, and that money goes to the general fund of the U.S. Which leads to, who pays tariffs? Per the CRS report, quote, U.S. importers pay the additional tariff. But also, quote, the broader question of who ultimately bears the economic burden of these higher costs is onto consumers.
Because that, my friends, is how corporations deal with increased cost. During COVID, companies used the increased cost of the supply chain to justify raising their prices. So why would you think tariffs would be any different? And don't think for a moment the rest of us can't smell the bullshit reasoning coming from some of the people, the same people who back then complained about supply chain inflation turning into corporate greed and are now using rising prices as an excuse for voting for America's first dictator. But hey, whatever maggots got to tell people in public because their friends, family, and basically anyone in their general vicinity wants nothing to do with them after November 6th. Hey, you do you. Meanwhile, in the Elections Have Consequences news, since November 6th, there is a trend emerging that has a lot of women nervous. It began with a diabolical, hysterical musing coming from Nick Fuentes, an incel podcaster with overt white supremacist tendencies, who also, by the way, spent a lot of time with the newly elected Floridian fondler at his Mar-a-Lago retirement home. Roll tape.
hey, bitch, we control your bodies. Guess what? Guys win again, okay? Men win again. And yes, we control your bodies. Hi, I'm your Republican congressman. It's your body, my choice. And men, women again. Men win again. There will never, ever be a female president. Never. There will never be a female president, ever. It's over. Glass ceiling? Dude, it's a ceiling made of fucking bricks. You will never break it. Your stupid face keeps hitting the brick ceiling. We will keep you down forever. You will never control your own bodies. You will never be the president of the global empire. Never gonna happen, sweetie. Your body, our choice.
Unfortunately, that chucklehead is not the only one who is declaring women's bodies men's choice. This phrase was popping up all over social media after Fuentes made his podcast, from Reddit to the disaster formerly known as Twitter. Men leaving this declaration in comment sections with the threat of rape and or sexual assault, just in case anyone was confused about what their choice would be. Boys and young men chanting this phrase to girls in their high schools and young women at their colleges. And for those of you in the back, what could men and boys proclaiming control over women's bodies have to do, I don't know, with the price of eggs? Abso-fucking-lutely nothing. So please, don't come at me with, it's the economy, stupid, when this is what rears its ugly head once pervert Hoover was reelected. Because I know it's hard for all of us to admit that over 74 million Americans, including women, including people of color, would rather have an adjacency to a rapist who would be running this country rather than give the reins over to a qualified woman who just so happens to be Black and South Asian. But it wasn't just misogyny that decided the 2024 election, my friends, because one day after the spray tan con man declared victory, this happened.
The FBI is now investigating a series of racist texts sent to Black Americans across the country.
Authorities in more than a dozen states say residents, including children, received texts from unknown numbers telling them they've been selected to, quote, pick cotton.
Social media sites have been flooded with people from New York to California who say they've received these racist text messages.
Pick cotton at the nearest plantation.
You are in plantation group B.
Our executive slaves will come get you in a brown van.
Be prepared to be searched down once you enter the plantation. You're in plantation group W.
Somebody had a list of names and phone numbers in at least, I think at this point, it's up to at least 14 different states, different ages of Black Americans across the country, and sent them all these racist messages. How does someone get a list with so many names of one particular group of people? And that comes from either campaigns or organizations or advertisers or data brokers. These are the types of folks who are gathering this kind of data.
Well, isn't that just fan-fucking-tastic? And with all the groups mentioned who collect our data, I just can't see how Target or Starbucks are going to benefit from sending their customers these kinds of text messages. So I guess that leaves campaigns who collect data on all voters, white, Black, brown, and every color of the rainbow, whether they are going to vote for them or not. And hey, look, I don't know for a fact that these texts were sent to Black children and adults by members of a specific campaign, but if they were, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't the Black ladies. Which brings me back to the results of the 2024 election not being about the economy, stupid. And the best person to explain that is not me, but a Black man. Here's Eddie Glaude giving us the hard truth on the nightcap with Stephanie Ruhle.
Life's not fair. I'm not doing well. My son's still living in the basement. I can't seem to get a job. I don't like the status quo. I'm voting for something else. And he
I love you to life.
I love you.
But I do not believe that. I cannot believe that. And the reason I think you believe it is because you don't want to believe that that's what's really motivating them. It's always the case. People don't want to believe what the country actually is. Because if they believe it, they're going to have to confront what's in them. I don't believe that. They voted for a crook, a person who they know is stealing from, just doing everything to undermine the so-called country that they love. And then they're telling us the BS that it's economics. We know that's not true. We know it's not true. And we got to raise our kids in this shift.
I feel you, Eddie. Those plantation texts and the Your Body, My Choice movement have absolutely fuck all to do with the economy. And yet, they are the immediate consequences of Dingleberry McFuckstick being reelected. Because they know they can. Now that the traffic cone of treason is in charge, they know that they can, and they are. Because 74 million Americans, many of them voting against their own interests, did this because they just can't fathom a black woman as president. I can't tell you how many times throughout this last year I heard this phrase, but Kamala's a woman and women get periods and a woman on her period can't run the country. And by the way, it was always men saying this nonsense, proving yet again that men clearly don't know a fucking thing about female anatomy, because I hate to break it to you, my dudes. Kamala Harris is 60 years old and hasn't had a period for quite some time because she's in fucking menopause. It is not the economy. Because although corporations price gouging since the pandemic sucks major ass, I do not like paying these prices. Kamala had nothing to do with that. And she even had a plan to go after companies raising prices while touting record profits. And yet, 74 million Americans said, fuck, we don't need that. So then they'll say immigrants are flooding into this country. They're taking American jobs, and while also staying at home collecting welfare, which never made sense to me, if I'm going to be honest, how immigrants could be at two places at once. But then again, I graduated high school with a 4.0 GPA and went on to college to get an associate in science for paralegal studies. So I clearly don't speak poorly educated. What I do understand, though, is what people say in public isn't always what they say in private. For example, polling data running up to the election and initial voter data from in-person and mail-in ballots showed Democrats and Kamala Harris up and poised to win. However, the actual election results showed that voters told pollsters and reporters at polling stations one thing and then did the exact opposite behind the voting curtain. And why, you might ask? Because these people know, publicly declaring they are refusing to vote Democrat because their candidate is a multiracial black woman doesn't make them look good. And it's as simple as that. So now that we know how many racist and misogynistic Americans we're dealing with, we've got to face facts and then move forward. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want the leopards to eat my face. And I'll be damned if they're going to get my daughters or anyone else's or anyone's mother, sister, aunt, anyone with a vagina, anyone of color, anyone marginalized, anyone seeking refuge. So we've got a lot of work to do. White privilege and those adjacent to it might not want diversity, equity, and inclusion, but I sure as fuck do. And so do 70.3 million more people like me. So let's start with what we need to look for.
Expect Article 1 of the Constitution to come under attack, to hollow out the power of Congress that has had its real powers taken over by the executive, by the dear leader. We are going to need a plan and some steel spine inserts among elected officials in Washington to head that off. Expect Article 3 of the Constitution to come under attack as well. It is already a fetish and a laugh line on the right to brag about how court orders really mean nothing and physical force and violence is what ultimately really decides what's allowed. We need a plan and some steel spine inserts among members of the judiciary to head that off. We're going to need every lawyer in the country to recognize it as their calling to fight it. Strongmen leaders have a tendency to become not just leaders of the government, not just dictators, but totalitarians. And a strong civil society, therefore, must be crushed. We need assurances from civil society leaders today that they're not going anywhere and that they will fight for our democracy, too. The U.S. military needs to give the American people binding assurances that they will not deploy U.S. military force against the civilian population in this country. The free press needs to give the people of this country assurances that they will not become state TV, that they will stand and fight together. They will put aside rivalries and petty professional differences. They will stand and fight together as the free press, as the fourth estate, as an institution that is a pillar of our democracy, as these guys on the other side inevitably start picking off individual journalists, individual publishers, individual news organizations to try ultimately to turn us all into some American-accented version of RT.
You know, Rachel Maddow has a good point. Von Schitz and Pants has called the American media fake, done it for years, threatened to sue them, even mused about having them shot by an imaginary assassin at one of his rallies right before the election. And as far as Americans go, he wanted to unleash the National Guard on citizens protesting the murder of George Floyd back in 2020, but he settled for tear gassing them because they were blocking his photo op where he was holding a Bible upside down in front of cameras. And please, for the love of whatever it is you believe in, please tell me you have not forgotten about Project 2025, because it is in play. I spoke extensively on this subject over the last year, and please listen to any of my previous shows of when this one is over, of course. Look, I was sad, crying on November 7th when I woke up to the news America went full fascist. Something you never, ever do. But I woke up scrappy and ready to fight on November 8th. Because I'm a woman and I have two daughters. So I can't just sit back while America gets rebranded as Gilead. And I come from a family who fled the Nazis invading their country just two generations ago. So I cannot turn a blind eye while immigrants become the thing right-wingers hate, vilify, and eventually want to exterminate. I just hope that you'll join me. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can follow This Week Again on social media, wherever you can find us. And we're always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you very much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.